in all of those things. What I want to give you is three truths about God you can anchor your soul to when life is frustrating. Grads, you probably don't believe that life will be frustrating for you. You will always be successful. It will always be up and to the right. Everything will continue to grow and continue to flourish. And sometime ask your parents, okay, ready for this? You ask your parents or your grandparents, how old were you when you figured out that life wasn't going to go how you thought it was going to go? You know, our generations, my generation anyway, probably your generation, I'm not sure, was told, you can be remarkable. And so we go into life thinking we're going to be remarkable, whatever that is. And sometimes we end up not. And we're like, what happened? We're told, you can be outstanding. And we look around and we're just average. We're told, you're way above average. And we look around and we're pretty average. And we like, why is life so frustrating? I pray and I pray and I pray and nothing seems to happen. And I work hard. I work hard and I work hard and I work hard and nothing ever seems to move. And no one seems to notice. No one seems to listen when I talk. No one seems to see me when I show up. And no one seems to care that I'm there. And life turns out to be awfully, awfully frustrating in seasons. What can you believe about God when life doesn't go how you think it's going to go, when life turns out to be pretty frustrating? Three truths about God as we get to know the God of Abraham. Let's pray. Lord, I just ask that you stand in front of me while I'm in front of them, that you talk over me while I talk to them. Lord, do this for your glory, our good, and the sake of the world that you love. In Jesus' name, amen. So a little bit of backstory before we get to Genesis chapter 16. God calls Abram in Haran. So Abram's dad decides he's going to leave Ur and go to Canaan, but he only gets halfway. He settles in Haran up here, and God calls Abram there and tells him that he's going to make of him a great nation. What I hear there, and probably what Abram heard there, is you're going to have an army of kids that will make the Wallaces feel sad and barren. And Abram's like, sign me up. I'm in. And he says, I'm going to give you a land, and I'm going to make your name great, and you will be a blessing to all people, and I'm going to bless all the nations through you. And God calls him, and he says, okay. And so he goes, and he goes to the promised land, and he builds altars, and he's close to God, and then things start to go wrong. There gets to be a famine in the land, and then he starts making really cowardly decisions, like asking his wife to lie and say that she is his sister, because he's only concerned about himself. And he goes, he doesn't build any altars, he doesn't pray about it during the famine, he just goes to Egypt. While he's in Egypt, he probably picks up a servant girl named Hagar. We don't hear that in the story, but we will learn it this week. And then he comes back to the land, and we've been back in the land for a chapter or two now. And coming back to God, let's pick it up here in chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. Now hold on, because God called him and said, I'm going to make of you a great nation, and here he is. We still don't have any children. This had been a problem since chapter 11, verse 30. She had a female Egyptian servant whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, "Behold, now the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Go in to my servant that it may be that I shall obtain children by her." Now, if you've been sleeping, welcome back. She really tells her husband, "Go in and make babies with my servant." And that was a culturally normal practice when infertility was a problem. "Go into my servant, that it may be that I shall obtain children by her." And Abram said, "That's a bad idea. That will come back to me in bitter, terrible ways. I'm not doing that." No. Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, okay, so I have that circled because God had made this promise to him, "You're going to be a great nation," 10 years ago. 10 years, they don't have any kids. 10 years of wondering, 10 years of excruciating doubt, 10 years of waiting, and they start to have human engineering take over answers to prayer, like coming up with creative ways that they can answer the prayers, that they can fulfill God's promises. 10 years. So after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, the Egyptian, her servant, and gave her to Abram, her husband, as a wife. And he went in to Hagar, and she conceived. It worked just like Sarai thought it would. Her plans worked. And when she saw that she had conceived, she took contempt on her mistress, except that it didn't. And Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done to me be on you. This is all your fault. I gave my servant to your embrace, and when she saw that she had conceived, she looked on me with contempt. May the Lord judge between me and you," and we all know that he's going to find you guilty. What a hot mess. Life gets complicated when you disobey God. But Abram said to Sarai, courageously, "Behold, your servant is in your power. Do to her as you please." Right? What a coward. Then Sarai dealt harshly with her, and she fled from her. Do you see why we're talking about frustration today in this text? Like, life is desperate and frustrating for them. And the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur. She's running back to Egypt. Shur is quite a ways south. It's on the way back to Egypt from Canaan. And he said, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" She said, "I am fleeing from my mistress, Sarai." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her." And the angel of the Lord also said to her, "I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude." Same promise, similar promise at least, made to Abram. And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael." Ishmael means God hears. Very important later on. We're going to come back to that. "You shall call his name Ishmael." Ishmael means God hears, because the Lord has listened to your affliction. "He shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. He shall dwell over and against all his kinsmen." So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are a God of seeing." Hearing, seeing. "You are a God of seeing." For she said, "Truly, here I have seen him who looks after me." Therefore, the well was called Beer Lahay Roy. Beer Lahay Roy, the footnote in your ESV Bible, means the well of the living one who sees me. Well of the living one who sees me. It lies between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abraham did what she said to do and called the name of his son whom Hagar bore Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. Question: what can you believe about God when life is frustrating. Maybe beyond frustrating, maybe desperate. After 10 excruciating years of waiting, Abram and Sarai take matters into their own hands and try to engineer God's promises coming true and end up with a disaster on their hands that lands in Hagar's lap. And what Hagar would tell you is true about God. This is what you can believe about God when things are desperate and things are difficult. Number one, she'd tell you, God hears. So the angel of the Lord says, name the boy Ishmael, and Ishmael means God hears. God hears. Because he has listened to your affliction. God hears. That's the first thing you need to know about God. He hears. What's fascinating to me is the angel, if you look back at verse 7, the angel of the Lord found her, like he didn't know where she was. Oh, there she is, by a spring of the water in wilderness and spring on the way to Shur. And he said to her, Hagar, servant of Sarai, ready for this? Where have you come from and where are you going? It's like all of heaven is curious. Where have you come from and where are you going? We're having a conference up there and we can't figure it out. No, you know that heaven knows where she's come from and where she's going. You know that. I just think God knew she needed to be able to say it, and she needed to be able to know that God would listen to her. Hey, God will listen to you. He hears your prayers. He hears your cries. He hears the stuff that you don't want anyone else to hear. He hears it. He hears what they say about you. He hears what they say to you. He hears it. God hears. He hears you. Number two, God sees. He sees. She said, she'd tell you, look, God hears and he sees. So she says, she called on the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are the God of seeing. You are the God who sees me. And that's why she names the well Beer Lahay Roy, which means the well, the living one who sees me. God sees. He sees the whole thing. He sees the whole picture. He sees what was done to you. He sees what was done by you. He sees where you've been. He sees your backstory. He sees where you are in the story. He sees where you're going. He sees the whole thing. And he sees you with compassion. This is what she'd tell you. Like, he hears, he really does. He hears what they say about me, to me. He hears me when I pray, and he sees me. He sees what's going on in my life. He sees what's not going on in my life. He sees all of it. And third, she'd tell you, best, she'd tell you, he cares. He cares. For she said, truly here I have seen him who looks after me. When life is so frustrating, when life doesn't go how you think it's going to go, when you're not as remarkable as you think, when you're not as outstanding as you want to be, when you're not as far above average as you wish you were, he hears. He sees, he cares. Look, I don't know. Like, I think this is important to Hagar because I get the sense with her being an Egyptian servant that she wasn't listened to very often at home. Maybe that's your story. Like, no one really listens to you. I get the sense that she wasn't ever really seen at home. She was kind of invisible. And maybe you feel like that too, or maybe you will feel like that when you go to huge university or you go to the trade school and you're just a number in the crowd. You went from knowing everyone and everyone knowing you, and now no one really listens to you, no one really sees you, and no one seems to care. And listen to Hagar, she'd tell you, no, that's not true. He hears, he sees, he cares. He hears, he sees, he cares. And here's the thing in this text, like as we just watch Abram and Sarai. it's a mess, right? Like they made a mess. They screwed up. Is God like, you know what? I'm going to go find a younger, cuter couple to work with. That's just easier. No, God's like, I picked you. I'm not going anywhere. I made promises to you, and I'm going to keep those promises. Praise God that he cares about Hagar, and he cares about Abram and Sarai. And he cares about you. He cares about you no matter how much you've screwed up or how much you've broken or how frustrating life is. He cares. He hears, he sees, he cares. So what should we do? We should keep trusting him. We should keep trusting him. Man, it's been 10 years, and I almost don't want to tell you this because this might make, I don't know what this is going to do for you. I don't, just, you know how many years it is before Abram and Sarai have a son? 25 total. So they're not even halfway there yet. They're not even halfway. I don't know how long it's going to be until you get your answers to prayer, but you might not, you might not be halfway yet. God is trustworthy in the beginning, and he's trustworthy in the end, and he's trustworthy all the way through. All the way through. He's got a plan all the way through. So I'm just going to offer you like a warning and then encouragement. Okay? So first the warning. And I know like I'm your parents' age. So sometimes I run a high jump for the varsity track meets. And one of the athletes or one of the coaches or one of the parents will come up and ask me this really technical question. And I'll say, I'm just a dad with a clipboard. I have no idea. I just keep track of who goes over what height and how many jumps they've had. I'm just a dad with a Bible. But let me offer you this. Okay? So this is hard, right? This is hard. They don't have a kid yet. It's been 10 years of excruciating waiting, and this is hard. You know what's worse? This is worse. This is complicated. You can, when you get frustrated enough and desperate enough, you can make choices that will make your life go from hard to hell. Please don't do that. Please don't let desperate, frustrating, I don't understand this circumstances, it move you into really, really worse situations. One bad decision doesn't have to mean another bad decision and another bad decision after that. Hard circumstances don't have to lead to disobedience and complicating decisions. They don't have to. Okay, so keep trusting him means follow him, like positively follow him, avoid making complicating, desperate, terrible decisions. Encouraging, okay, so this is like positively, this is what I want you to see about God, okay, this is what you need to hear about God. God is faithful to his promises. He keeps his promises. We don't know when, we don't know how, he always keeps his promises. This is true for Abram and Sarai, of course, but it's also true of Hagar. He keeps his promises to Hagar, he keeps his promises to you, he keeps his promises to me. He keeps his promises. He cannot lie. He is utterly trustworthy. You can trust him. So negatively, like warning, don't complicate your life by making disobedient decisions. Positively, keep trusting him. He keeps his promises. So, when life is frustrating, here's what we said. Keep trusting the Lord who sees, who hears, and who cares. And for Hagar, this was a God she had just met. For you and I, this is a God we have come to know in the person of Jesus, who saw what we are going through, who heard our cries, and who showed up himself and walked among us and went up to Jerusalem to die on the cross for our sins, who conquered death by rising from the dead, who shares himself with us in the person of the Holy Spirit, who promises to return again and make all things new. Trust the Lord, who sees, who hears, and who cares. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that you listen to each one of us, that you see each one of us and what we're going through, that you care about each one of us and what we're going through. And Lord, I just pray that you ask us, that you help us trust you with all of it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
As the men come forward to receive our offering this morning, let me read Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. I'm so thankful that we get to be a part of what God is doing here in Allegan and in Michigan and the rest of the world. So let's pray for our offering this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we are so thankful that we get to give back to you what you have given to us. Just pray that you would receive this offering and multiply it for your glory and for our good. Amen. Last song for this morning is a great one. It's In Christ Alone, and it's a reminder that our hope is found in Christ, and everything that you need for life and godliness is found in Christ. So let's stand, and as we send these graduates out into the world, let's sing about how we do this in Christ alone.
My hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when sins are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on the cross, as Jesus died, the slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ.
The spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you.
No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me.
Joy to worship with you this morning. Grads, you can head to the back. We will have some folks who will want to say hi to you on our way out this morning. As a reminder, after a few minutes, that'll be on a countdown clock. We're going to have a brief business meeting after the service, so members, please stick around so we can meet as a church family then. I just want to tell you, if you want to know the God who knows you, Nathan or I or Kent, any of our men would love to pray with you this morning. Let me send you out with this. Heavenly Father, help us to live lives that are rooted in, resilient in the fact that you hear and see and care for us. God, that's just not something remote, but you came in the person of Christ, demonstrated your ear to our cries, your eyes to the pain that humanity was mired in, and gave of yourself in the most caring thing you could do. Lord, help that to build our trust so we can be bold after you this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have an awesome week.